You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin Wakes Up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. It's Wednesday. It's 8:06. If you are on the app, I hope it's because you were listening to WMDX and you moved over. But if you are listening on the network or if you are watching on the stream, I'm glad you're with us because a lot to get to in the final hour. We will find out at the end of the show if there's something that you know you could just eat until you exploded. If that's not a tease, I don't know what is. We're not talking about that now because there's a lot of you need to know.
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
Yeah, man, there is stuff we need to know. The first thing is that Pete Hegseth was on Capitol Hill yesterday, and he faced tough questions from Republicans and Democratic lawmakers about the administration's endgame for the war. The conflict's rising $29 billion cost and its impact on diminishing U.S. weapons stockpiles. Well, while the Pentagon chief softened his tone from his hearings before Congress about 2 weeks ago, you remember where he was just yelling, he was out of his mind, that old Pistol Pete. Notably, he was avoided the same pointed criticism of lawmakers. He got far more pushback from members of his own party about the levels of U.S. munitions used in the Iran war and President Trump's intense criticism of traditional allies for not taking part in the conflict. He said, I take issue with the characterization that munitions are depleted in a public forum. That's not true. But even as Hegseth insisted that the military has plenty of missile defense systems and other munitions for the war or future conflicts, he did tell House and Senate lawmakers overseeing defense spending that the Trump administration is working to ramp up production of more weapons, because some is good, more is better. Pentagon officials also told lawmakers that the cost of the Iran war has risen to about $29 billion, most of which, about $24 billion of that, is related to replacing munitions and repairing equipment, but also includes operational costs just to keep forces deployed. Now, that's up from the overall total of $25 billion that the Pentagon comptroller Jay Hurst revealed nearly 2 weeks ago. $4 billion in 2 weeks. When I say that's a lot of money, I will grant you that could be the most obvious understatement in the history of dialogue. But it still makes you shake your head to go, how are we spending $5 billion more in 2 weeks? 2 weeks. Well, the Republicans really came out of the woodwork on this one. He faced notable pushback from about the straining of relations with longtime allies. Mitch McConnell, remember him, the Crypt Keeper? Mitch McConnell told Hegseth that NATO is the most important military alliance in world history. That may be true, and I would believe it is true. However, the president doesn't believe so, and so that is why we are threatening to pull troops out of many of our allied countries, troops that are there for specific national security reasons. He loves to talk about national security when it comes to trying to weaponize the DOJ against leakers or perceived leakers, but when it comes to pulling troops out of foreign countries, he will threaten to do that just because they hurt his little feelings. Okay, hey, this is good news from Wisconsin. Some good S you need to know here this morning. Children's Wisconsin is expanding its neonatal intensive care unit, the NICU, in the Fox Valley Hospital to meet higher demand for care. That was announced Monday by the health system. Now, not good news that more babies are needing this service, but good news that the hospital is creating this new wing. The NICU will add a 6-bed pod in the Nina Hospital, 130 on 2nd Street, to expand care up to 28 babies at a time. The upgraded space will have more bedside space for family members, a larger private lactation room, and a private room for families to practice caring for their babies before they go home. This is, if you've had to ever spend time in a NICU, it is really cramped. And it is, now I'm sure they have changed in the almost 30 years since Molly was in the NICU. But there was no room. You would go in, and of course, it's very secure because there are babies in there. Nobody wants their baby snatched. But I could, and Parker, someday maybe if you have kids, you will learn this. It is an odd thing that you can identify your baby's cry from a long way away. Mm-hmm. Even amongst other babies crying, you can figure yours out. Because I'd be walking down the hall to the NIC room, and I would hear a couple babies crying, and I was like, oh, that one's Molly. And it turned out it was. But the point of this is there was very cramped quarters for families. There were very cramped quarters for moms who were trying to feed their babies. They would have to do it like almost right next to the bed where the baby was being held. So this is good if you have to use this. Now, the health system said there is higher demand for newborn care in the region, and the NICU in Neenah regularly treats patients from other medical centers in the area. Two pediatric rooms in the hospital have also been remodeled under the renovation. In a news release, the executive director of the Northeastern Region at Children's Wisconsin said, "This expansion strengthens our ability to care for newborns in the Fox Valley and beyond, especially those who need critical care." So congratulations to Children's Wisconsin, and good news for parents if you are in need of those services in that area, because it is really terrifying because you don't know what's going on. And the doctors and the nurses, of course, are caring and they tell you what's going on, but it is a very stressful situation. So if you can have a little more room and be a little more comfortable and you know that your baby is getting the top of the line care, it eases your mind a little. Not, you know, it doesn't wipe away all worries, but it makes things a little more comfortable, makes things a little more, you know, just adaptable, where you can ease into this hard situation. Well, somebody is being eased out of their hard situation. The FDA chief is leaving after he angered Big Pharma and vaping lobbyists and anti-abortion groups. So the head of the Food and Drug Administration, who is Dr. Marty McCarry, is resigning after a rocky tenure that drew months of complaints from health industry executives, anti-abortion activists, vaping lobbyists, and other allies of the president. News of the departure yesterday came just 13 months after he was confirmed to lead the powerful regulatory agency. We should start a tally board of all both terms of Trump's administrations and see how many people are in and how many are out and how long they lasted. Because remember in the first one, there was, who was it? Was it Scaramucci, who lasted like a week as the press secretary?
Scaramucci? I forgot about him. Yeah.
You can't forget Scaramucci.
Wow.
You can't. And then you can't forget that, you know, Sean Spicer was there, and then Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who could have been, Sarah Huckabee Sanders makes Caroline Leavitt look like a softball pitcher when it comes to dealing with the press. Sarah Huckabee Sanders had zero cares to give to anybody. She was vicious. But anyway, that's beside the point. We need to start a flow chart. But a surgeon and health researcher, McCarry came to prominence among Republicans as an outspoken critic of COVID-19 health measures during the pandemic. Sure, that'll endear you to MAGA. He frequently appeared on Fox News Channel, another prerequisite for getting into the cabinet. You have to have made a lot of appearances on the one channel that the president watched when he wasn't throwing ketchup bottles. He struggled to manage the FDA's bureaucracy and failed to win the confidence of its staff after mass layoffs, leadership upheavals, and a series of controversies in which the agency's scientific principles appeared to be overridden by political interests, including those of Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Yeah, I would imagine now, I don't have a lot of management experience, but if I went in and I fired half the people and I discounted all the work they were doing scientifically, it would be hard to win the confidence of my staff, I would think. Trump later confirmed in a social media post that Kyle Diamantis, the agency's chief for foods, is expected to take over as acting commissioner. Diamantis is an attorney with personal ties to Donald Trump Jr. Raise your hand if you're surprised. Thank you. No hands were raised. All right. in a post, in the social media post, the president included what appeared to be a text message from Macri submitting his resignation. In it, he noted that, quote, "I announced 50 major FDA reforms. Joe Biden's FDA had none. He thanked Trump for the chance to serve." The FDA commissioner, as leader of an agency that regulates billions of dollars in consumer goods and medicines, is often required to juggle competing priorities that straddle science and politics. It seems as if, and again, my opinion, but you are more than welcome to draw your own and share them if you want at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, that this administration's department heads tend to veer more toward juggling the politics rather than the science. There seems to be a complete disregard for science, for scientists, for anybody who's smart, for people who have dedicated their lives to the pursuit of making our lives better through science. Again, my opinion. Macri faced a unique challenge in balancing calls by Trump and other Republicans to cut red tape at the FDA. Yes, fewer regulations often lead to good medicine. Also attending to Kennedy's interest in scrutinizing the safety of vaccines, drugs, and food activities, the decision to get rid of him was made by Kennedy, and then the White House signed off on it. So there you go. And real quick, before as we start to wrap things up on S You Need to Know, if you are going outside, my friends, be careful because wood ticks have been unusually active in southern Wisconsin this spring. Emergency room visits for tick bites hit their highest known level in southern Wisconsin and have been up across the state in recent weeks. That's according to data from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, which began tracking tick-related ER visits in 2022. Most of the country has seen a similar trend, but it has been especially pronounced in the Midwest, that according to the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Experts say the evidence in Wisconsin suggests people are having more encounters than usual with the American dog tick, also known as the wood tick. It is a really common human biter, said a professor in the UW-Madison Department of Entomology and director of the Midwest Center of Excellence for Vector Bone Disease. It's also very common on animals, including pets. Every day when I let my dogs out and we're going for a walk and they want to go into the weeds and the underbrush, I'm like, oh. I tell them, be careful for ticks. Do you think they listen to me?
No.
Nope. They don't care one way or another. Because you know who's going to deal with the ticks if they get them?
You.
Daddy-o over here. Me, I got to pick the ticks. No good. So, of Wisconsin has two main tick species. Did you know that, Parker?
I did not. Please tell me.
Well,
more.
Now you do, because I'm nothing if not educational. Wood ticks are the lesser evil. Wood ticks are relatively large and can be alarming to spot on your skin. But deer ticks, those are the ones you got to be really careful about. Deer tick populations appear to be about average for this time of year based on preliminary findings. But ticks are present year-round in Wisconsin. They're the most active during warmer months between April and September. We're in May. That's right between April and September. So be careful. Human encounters with wood ticks normally peak in the spring and early summer. Then they drop off quickly while deer tick activities stay high over a longer period. So I guess what's the lesson here, friends? You got to wear long pants and good shoes when you're out hiking in the woods, perhaps some long sleeves, dress like you're in a beekeeper suit, and then wander around the underbrush. Or just stay off it. But ticks can be on the paved path, too. So just watch yourself. And know, knowledge is power. So if you know the ticks are out there, you can protect yourself. When we come back, it's not your imagination. Grocery prices have spiked to an all-time high. We'll get into that happy news. On the other side, it's Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan, and this is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Local news, community stories, and the conversations that matter most. Now, more Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Welcome. What has been the one item that you have really noticed is going up in cost over the last few months? Because groceries, we talk about it all the time, very expensive. So what's the one that's hit you the hardest? Maybe it was vegetables. Maybe it was coffee. Who knows? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842 is the number. You can text, and if you call in, be nice to Parker, because to get to me, you got to get through him. That's how it works here. So we all know grocery prices have skyrocketed. We talk about that, but they've hit the highest rate they've been in 4 years, and they went up at the fastest rate they've gone in 4 years. So there is increased pressure on all of us anytime we go to the grocery store. I went to the store yesterday, and like many of you did. And I also have started like shopping more at Aldi and trying to find, and I'm constantly, you know, the flyers came out for this week's sales, and I immediately go through. And after the show, I'm going to go on the my grocery store apps and start clipping deals and all of that, because everything is going up. So grocery prices in April have spiked, according to data released yesterday by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. While broader inflation reached its highest level in nearly 3 years as the effects of the war have hit the economy. So energy costs, coupled with tariffs, ongoing agricultural and farming issues, those all combine to mean that grocery prices are going and going. And this trend, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics and other agencies, it could continue for months. So costs spiked, especially in a few key areas, and some of them are produce and beef, which you may have noticed. So tomato prices. Now, I don't buy a lot of tomatoes, but tomato prices soared 15% in April compared with a month ago and are up nearly 40% in the last year. So tomatoes are facing all kinds of challenges, including the rising price of diesel caused by the energy prices going up. Tomatoes, as well as other produce, are often transported in refrigerated trucks that are powered by diesel. Tomatoes from Mexico are also subject to tariffs of about 17%, making prices rise in the United States. That can't be right, because I thought Mexico paid for those tariffs. Oh, well, I guess they don't. So they go up, the prices go up. We all know that. In the winter months for imported tomatoes, everything goes up. Climate change has also affected tomatoes. Mexico has had an especially rainy season and dealt with crop disease. Florida's tomato supply has constrained following winter frosts. Climate issues also continue to push up coffee prices. That's the one that's hitting me the hardest. I'm not going to lie to you, because coffee, I always buy it on sale. I buy my coffee from, this is as bougie as I get, Parker. I buy my coffee from a company in Louisiana, Community Coffee.
Okay.
Small family-owned company. Really great coffee. I buy it from there. Listen, maybe they want to start advertising on the program. Sales, pay attention. Anyway, but I wait for a sale. Yesterday, they dropped a 25% off sale. And I was like, ooh, I'll stock up on some coffee. But the regular price has gone up so much that even with the 25% off, I'm still back to what the price I used to pay 6 months ago or a year ago was.
Yeah.
So am I really saving money? In my head, yes. So don't tell me I'm not. Don't correct me on that one. Let me live with the illusion that I'm saving money on my coffee. But coffee is going up. So where have you seen the most increase in stuff you buy every day? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. So the coffee, that's dealing with climate. Prices of beef. Oh, we all see that. Beef prices surged in April and are up nearly 15% over last year. Remember at the end, or during the campaign, before the last election, it was all about egg prices. Oh, egg prices. Well, and we all knew that was because of the bird flu and the number of chickens that had to be put down because of disease, but it was still always eggs. Now today, one of the grocery stores that I go to is doing a deal. You can get a dozen eggs for 49 cents. You don't have to do anything else. Whoa. You don't have to buy anything else. You limit one, but you can go and get a dozen eggs for 49 cents. I'm normally getting eggs for under $2 a dozen. So egg price is not, but beef, forget about it. Beef costs have been rising sharply for over 2 years. You've seen it creeping up. Even if you're trying to buy hamburger for your hamburger helper, you're like, man, hamburger helper used to be a cheap way to go. I could make a big pan of tacos with an envelope of seasoning, and we could eat for a couple meals. Not anymore. So The administration did postpone signing an executive order that would have reduced beef tariffs Monday night. So that's nice. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. Yeah, why help us out by making beef cheaper? Americans are embracing meat as a protein. Protein. Boy, why can't I say protein today? So anyway, so demand for beef is up and the cost of beef is up. So grocery prices overall. Parker, I'm going to let you guess this. Since January 22, what's the percentage of grocery price increase since then? Since January 2022?
Oh, I'm going to go with 10%.
Oh, Parker, you live in a dreamland that I wish I could inhabit. 18%. Grocery prices have gone up 18% in the last 4 years. Now, overall, that's a lot. I can't sugarcoat it. I'm sorry. There's no way for me to say anything else. It is crazy. Somebody asked if you even grocery shop, Parker. So they're chastising me for asking. Do you grocery shop, Parker?
Incredibly minimally.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you know, well, like if you have to go for your, if your mom or dad asks you to run to the store, you know prices are going up, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, when you go in to buy your energy drink and vapes, because I imagine all people in their 20s, that's all they buy at the store, or Liquid Death. Get yourself some Liquid Death and a couple cherry-flavored vapes, and then you're out the door. Maybe a bag of Cheetos to go with it, because once you vape enough, you're going to have the munchies. So you got to see those prices going up too, right? Sure.
Yeah,
everything's going up.
Everything's up.
Everything's up. Inflation. Thanks, Biden. That's the way it goes. Cities around the state are disabling Facebook comments. Is that limiting your free speech? We'll get to it after this. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
Want to join in on the conversation? Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Now back to Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Glad you are here. This is Daybreak. I am Brian Noonan. Jamie will be back with us next Monday. She is handling some business for the company out of state. Now, I need to know, if you are not allowed to comment on someone's Facebook page, do you consider that an affront to your freedom of speech? What if it's the town you live in and you are not allowed to comment on their Facebook page? Does that make you feel like your free speech is being limited? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Well, a lot of communities across the state have decided to disable their Facebook comments. Now, there's two questions. One is the one I asked you. Is that restricting your freedom of speech? And is it even legal for them to do this? Do you want the short answer? The short answer is yeah. But here's why we get to it. Yeah, for the is it legal. So a number of Wisconsin cities are trying to disable all comments on their official government Facebook pages. It is a legal practice, but one that raises questions about the ability to engage in democracy on the internet flooded with bots and artificial intelligence. Most local governments cite an increase in violent and offensive comments, mostly from users who are not local residents. So that was the rationale that Green Bay used in making sure requests and questions go through official channels. Our friend Howard Schweiber, an emeritus political scientist professor at UW-Madison, specializes in First Amendment law and said cities have a perverse incentive to shut down their Facebook comments altogether. Listen. I am on the side of the cities on this. I'm going to come out right away and say this. Because, one, if you think your freedom of speech is being restricted because Green Bay or one of the other cities that I'll mention has decided to turn off comments, you really need to go read the First Amendment again. Because you don't have a right to be on their Facebook page. Now, you have a right to go protest. You have a right to send a letter or call. You have a right to do all of those things to make your voice heard. And I encourage you, if you have those feelings, to do all of those things. But Facebook, one, it's a private company. Two, even if it's an official page, it's a billboard for them. They don't need to allow you to put things on there that are harmful, that are threatening, that are violent. The city does, now somebody texting in, says the city does work for us. Disabling comments is cowardly. Not if it's shown that a lot of these comments are caused by bots. If comments on social media were to believe, everybody is awful, everything sucks, nobody is honest. Comment sections on social media are not a barometer of anything. And if you really want, I agree that the city works for us, but the way to get to them or the way to make your message heard is not to post on social media when your message, which may or may not be a legitimate complaint, is grouped in with all of these bots and people who don't even live in your community. And just because you're on Facebook doesn't give you a platform to make comments. It would be like if I went on, I don't know, pick a city, Pittsburgh. That's where my daughter lives. If I went on Pittsburgh's Facebook page and started talking all kinds of garbage about Pittsburgh, well, I don't live there. And I shouldn't have, I have no real connection. Why should I be doing this? So I don't believe it's cowardly. I don't believe so. So the Greater Green Bay Society of the Llama, which is a group with more than 1,200 members, conducted an informal poll of the city's policy of disabling comments. More than half were against it, calling for the turning comments back on and letting people have their opinions. Residents in a similar neighborhood group in Shorewood, which is a suburb north of Milwaukee, also debate the change and questioned First Amendment implications. There are none. The First Amendment states that the government shall not enforce or shall not impose rules that will keep you from speaking your piece. This is not being able to post on Facebook does not take away your ability to complain or critique. Facebook and Instagram and all of these social media platforms are for people who don't want to really get involved. They are for people with beer muscles who can hide behind any fake profile they have and can say whatever they want with zero consequences. At least if you go and protest, you're putting yourself out there. You are serious about what you're thinking about. If you write a letter, if you call your congressman, any of those things that are not hampered by Facebook or any other comment section, those show that you are truly, truly involved in your community, that you want to make a change, that you want somebody to hear you. If you send an email, it's the same thing. You are making an effort outside of hiding on Facebook or another social media platform to make your comments known. And again, I am 1,000%, which is mathematically impossible, I am fully on board with people protesting and getting their voices heard. Facebook is not the place to do it. And you all know it because look on any Facebook post and get rid of it. They do work for you, but they also don't work for bots, and they don't need to have violent and threatening and derogatory comments put on there. If you have those kind of comments, make them somewhere else. You're not entitled to post on Facebook. You, as a citizen, can change your preferences and have people in there, or you can ban people from making comments. You can turn comments off. So why not? So which Wisconsin cities are disabling comments on Facebook? Well, I mentioned Green Bay, of course. Shorewood, I kind of mentioned. They turned off comments on village-managed social media, calling Facebook a one-way source for the news, updates, and reminders, which makes sense. It's a billboard. It's a flyer. That's what it is. Hey, guess what? We've got this coming up. Don't forget Garbage Day. Here's where the polling places are. This is something that the village is doing. There will be road construction, blah, blah, blah. That's what it is. Green Bay City government disabled comments and direct messages starting May 1st. The city's communication director said residents thought they could get issues resolved through Facebook comments. They cannot. In one case, a resident commented that a road hadn't been plowed after a big snowstorm and no one had caught it. Staff were tired of going through comments to find questions to answers and are instead promoting official channels for communication like online service requests. That's how you get stuff done. Because we also know that comments do not show up on Facebook in real time. Your comment could not be seen by an administrator for a while. Whitewater is doing it. Oh, Parker, that's where you went to school.
I did.
How do you feel about that?
I don't know how I feel about this in general, but to be honest with you, I think that it should be open for all comments.
Nah.
I know that I get the drawbacks of it, but I also understand that that is a very easy way as a citizen of your city to be able to get, I'm not going to say to get
to
your
complain
point across.
Without any sort of, without any sort of blowback. You know?
Yeah.
Without any real, it's just a place to let off steam. And it should be, I think, with a city account and with some private accounts, brand accounts, it is basically a marketing tool.
Sure.
If you have a beef with the city, go to the city. And
yeah.
Please, I know I keep repeating this because I'm going to hear from people, well, you just don't want to, you want to quash the First Amendment. Man, if you say that about me, you are so far out in left field, you don't have an idea what you're talking about.
No.
I am all about the First Amendment, but I understand the First Amendment, and this is not a violation of the First Amendment. Legally, it is not a violation. Local governments can allow all expression or ban all expression, according to Howard Schwaber, who we respect quite a bit. They cannot be selective about what expressions they allow online. So if I'm Green Bay, let's say, and I'm running the page, and Frank comes on, and he, you know, he's fueled by hate. We all know that. So he says something hateful, but I kind of agree with Frank, so I leave his up. And then Parker comes on, and Parker says something uncharacteristically vile. And I delete Parker's, but I leave Frank's. I can't do that. But if I say, I don't want to listen to either one of you yahoos, and I make sure that I don't let anybody comment, that is legal. If you say this is a one-way form of communication and no comments will be entertained, they're perfectly within their legal rights. So you can complain about it and not like it, which I have a feeling Frank is going to say he doesn't, but they're perfectly within their rights. Eau Claire is doing it. Park Falls is doing it. Other cities like Grafton and Port Washington has taken similar steps to close or limit. We've seen it for years on newspaper comment sections that they stopped putting comment sections at the bottom of stories because not only were comments getting increasingly hostile and negative, they were also not related at all to what was going on, and that's part of what these cities are going through too. Frank.
I think that's where I side with you, Brian, as I, you know, my wife does handle a large social media account for work.
Okay.
And I think by seeing the vile comments on like happy posts, whether it's celebrating, mm-hmm. whatever it is, there's always somebody in there that has to say something very dark. It's past being a troll. Like there's trolls that like say things for a laugh. And then there's other people that truly believe the vile things that they're spewing.
Yes.
And the time and energy it takes to go through and scrub all of those messages. Now, I know this is a government account, and that's different because there's people that agree with policies, people who disagree with policies.
Sure.
Maybe people get upset that roads are shut down and weren't warned about them and are stuck for 2 hours, like somebody on this show.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But yelling into the void and complaining about it's not going to change anything.
Yes, that's my point.
If you have a formal complaint, you're going to have to make a formal complaint. You're going to have to show up and do something about it. Otherwise, it's just venting. And then you're wasting your time. Some intern is wasting their time going through doing community management and cleaning up
vent,
all the vitriol.
You can go on your own page and vent. You know, Frank, you could have gone on your page and gone on a tirade about the road being closed and you not being notified about it.
And I didn't.
I know you didn't, but that's where you could get that out.
Yes.
And in that you can tag the city account there.
And so maybe the city sees that and said, "Oh, I thought, hey, we were supposed to let people know the roads were going to be closed."
Mm-hmm.
So somebody screwed up. That's fine. They're going to hear about it. Or I'm sure
But
there
issue,
were a lot of people who called your alderman and raised a stink. So that's how you get involved.
And the main issue from seeing it firsthand is somebody will look at something like this and take that opportunity to complain about SNAP benefits.
Yes.
That's where our society is right now. We can't have anything nice because we as a collective have ruined any healthy, constructive debate or criticism on online forums.
So I think that's it. Going back to our texter comment, they work for you. It's not cowardly. Put yourself out there. Take your complaints and do it. Do it. If you have some sort of beef with your local government, let them know. If the city, if the Department of Public Works didn't tell you, or has there's a huge pothole on your street and four cars have been sunken into it, call them, email them, go to a town council meeting, something. Facebook is not your savior, and it is not your pulpit to comment on everything. All right, when we come back, I got to talk to the boys. What can you eat a giant amount of? Oh, this is going to be a fun one. We're going to do that. It's Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
That is a high bar. All facts, no fiction. You're talking to a guy who's got so many fictional voices in his head all the time. We do our best, though. We endeavor. I'm Brian Noonan. Jamie will be back with us next week. Our executive producer, Frank, has jumped on. Parker, our technical producer, is always there. He's been always a help. Frank, have you noticed he's started to, he's weaned back. He's flailing about a little bit. Just a little bit.
Hold your horses.
He's still giving me the time cues.
Because you keep hitting the
time. Well, let's not jinx it. Let's move on to something else.
This is the triple axel, Noonan. You got to stick it.
Well, we're anyway. Not going to work.
Can't talk
right
about
now,
no
what
hitter.
I want to stick is to my diet, and I can't because Applebee's is bringing back the all-you-can-eat deal, and it got me thinking about my past. Listen, we're in Wisconsin where people like to eat and they like to drink, and there's no shade. That's a good thing. What can you eat a huge amount of? Or in the worst-case scenario, have you ever been thrown out of an all-you-can-eat place because they went, no, that's all you can eat?
No.
You can probably physically eat more. That's all we are allowing you to eat. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. So that's the number. So let me tell you this real quick. So Applebee's, starting Monday, they brought back the all-you-can-eat deal. It's $15.99. So here's what you can get for the all-you-can-eat at Applebee's. Boys, we got to plan an outing. You can get boneless wings. All of these come with endless fries, too, by the way. Boneless wings with one of six sauces. Riblets, you can get those. They come with either honey barbecue, hot honey glaze, or sweet Asian chili sauce. Those also come with coleslaw. Or double crunch shrimp, crispy battered, served with cocktail sauce, coleslaw, and fries. It began on Monday. It's available for a limited time. So you sit there, and you can just go crazy. And I got to be honest, I haven't been to an Applebee's in a while. They are America's favorite neighbor.
Allegedly.
Well, allegedly, sure. But for $16, plus then you got to buy your drink. Or you could be one of those cheap people who just drink water. But if I'm going all I can eat boneless wings, I'm going to have a beer to wash that down.
Agreed.
That's fair. I love me some boneless wings.
I do too.
I think wings in general and fries are the two things that I could just house for hours.
Yeah.
I have a rule. No fry goes uneaten.
That's a good rule.
Like, especially, I remember when my wife and I first started dating, there were some fries, in the bag fries at the end of the meal. Mm-hmm. And she went to throw them out. And I said, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
She goes, well, you're done with mine. I'm done with mine. Aren't you full? I was like, that's not the point.
No.
It's about princess
fries here.
Fries don't go to waste.
No. There's poor children. Raising Cane's that want to eat some fries. Cindy is in Appleton. She wants to jump in. Cindy, what can you eat a lot of?
Well, dang, I didn't know Applebee's was going to do such a great deal. We don't have them in Appleton anymore. They both closed.
Ironic that Applebee's is not in Appleton.
No Applebee's in Appleton.
Yeah, what the heck?
Yeah, I kind of said. Anyway, I can eat lots and lots of a green salad, lettuce, whatever.
Doesn't count. Continue.
But now that you talked about wings, I think I can pretty much eat my fair share of those, too.
There you go, Cindy.
You go.
Come on to the dark side.
Yes.
Get off the greens.
Nobody made friends eating salad.
Of course you can eat a bunch of greens.
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
Cindy, thank you for the call. I think I mentioned this maybe off the air yesterday. For Mother's Day, my wife chose wings for her dinner. And I must have housed 18, 20 wings. I ate Frank every fry because it was also my last dinner before I recommitted to my weight loss thing. I used to go in high school. There was a restaurant, and don't at me. I know it's not politically correct anymore. There was a restaurant chain called Sambo's, and it was based around the story of the African prince and tigers turning into butter, and it was like
a pancake
house.
This was a thing?
Yeah, look up Sambo's. They were all over.
Good Lord.
They started in California. They were all over the country. The food was really good. The name was unfortunate, but the food was really good, and it did share the story of this prince who outsmarted the tigers and made them run around so much that they turned into butter. And so that was the butter that they used on the pancakes and waffles. But they used to have all-you-could-eat clam night. You know those deep-fried clams, the little clam strips? My two buddies and I would go over, and we would eat clams for an hour. I think I may be partially responsible. If there is ever a shortage of clams in our great waterways, it's my fault. I ate fried clams like there was no tomorrow, like I was going to be executed in an hour and a half. That's how many fried clams I ate. It was insanity. And then, Frank, you might appreciate this.
Uh-huh.
There was a time when some Waffle House restaurants had an all-you-could-eat deal. And I was on the road, and I would find these Waffle Houses, and I would house the Waffle House. Couple different breakfast plates, maybe a burger, then end it all up with a pecan waffle, which explains why I weighed almost 400 pounds. So there's no surprises here.
So Brian, you brought something up at the beginning of the break that I really want to circle back to.
Please.
Have you ever been kicked out of an all-you-can-eat buffet for eating too much? I was going to say, look, as a large man, you're a fellow large man.
Of course.
There is a code of conduct when you get to be this size. one of the rules is you can never be first in line at the buffet.
Exactly.
You also can't get seconds if nobody else is getting seconds.
True.
In like a
you also can't sit in a booth.
You can't be last in booth, and you got to waddle out of there.
Right.
It's a bad look.
It's a horrible.
I think getting asked to leave by an all-you-can-eat buffet for eating too much would be the line for me.
I am always reminded of the late John Panette's comedy bit about going to the Chinese buffet. You go now. No more. You go now. And that it's a very, very funny bit about him getting thrown out. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, I'm not going to have all you can eat today, but I'll have a little something. And maybe we do an Applebee's outing. Who's to say? Thank you for listening. Thanks for being here today and getting involved. We appreciate it. I will be back tomorrow with more information, fun, and frivolity. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan on the Civic Media.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.